ബിസ്മില്ലാഹിർ റഹ്മാനിർ റഹീം. അൽഹംദുലില്ലാഹി റബ്ബിൽ ആലമീൻ. വഉസല്ലി വഉസല്ലിമു അലാ അഷ്റഫിൽ അംബിയാഇ വൽ മുർസലീൻ നബിയിനാ വഹബീബിനാ വഖുറത്തി അയുനിനാ മുഹമ്മദ് ഇബ്നു അബ്ദില്ലാഹ് അലൈഹി വഅലാ ആലിഹി വഅസ്ഹാബിഹി അഫ്ളു സ്വലാത്തി വഅതമ്മു തസ്ലീം. അമ്മാ ബഅദ്, ഫഇന്ന അസ്ദഖൽ ഹദീസ് കിതാബുല്ലാഹ് وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار. وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى ايضا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, first and foremost, I admonish myself and then all of you all who are present here to ingrain taqwa in your lives and to infuse your hearts with taqwa, and that is to adopt the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your lives if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah the Almighty make us all from the people of taqwa. And secondly, it is incumbent upon all of us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors that He has conferred upon us. Numerous indeed are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I wish to share with you all a story that took place many, many moons ago. And this story was narrated to us by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith is in Bukhari. The story is of three men, and the narration goes along the lines of these words. The story is of three men, one who was a leper, and the other who was a bald man, and the other, the final person, was a blind individual. Three people. Allah the Almighty, He sent down an angel to test these three people, to test these three individuals. So the angel, he goes first to the leper, a man who was afflicted with leprosy. He goes to him and he asks him, "What do you wish?" You know, like Aladdin and the magic lamp. He goes to him and he asks him, "What do you wish?" Now, the leper who was afflicted with leprosy, naturally his skin was badly affected. People disliked him. People did not like to be in his company due to his bad appearance. So he asked that angel, "I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should bless me with beautiful skin. In other words, that I be cured from this disease." The angel, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that man's wish was granted. He was cured from leprosy and he was given a beautiful looking skin, complexion. Now the angel, he goes on to ask the man, "Okay, so what do you now wish from wealth?" Allahu Akbar, the wishes don't end there. "Now what do you wish from wealth?" The man says, "I wish to own a herd of camels." Allahu Akbar. The angel, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and blesses the man with a pregnant she-camel. A pregnant she-camel. After some time, that pregnant she-camel little ones of the camels, and that multiplied and became a whole herd of camels. The man now, he owned a whole herd of camels. The angel now went to the bald man and asked him, "What do you wish?" The bald man said, "I'm bald, I don't have hair, I wish to have beautiful long hair." The angel, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the man is blessed with beautiful long hair. And now, what do you wish from wealth? "I wish to own droves of cattle." The angel prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is blessed with a pregnant cow. That cow gives birth, and now that multiplies, and now he owns droves of cattle, herds of cattle. The angel now goes to the blind man and asks him, "What do you wish?" The blind man says, "I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should restore my eyesight so that I can see with beautiful clarity." The angel prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the man, his eyesight is restored. Now he is able to look with clarity. The angel then goes on to ask him, "So what do you wish from wealth?" He says, "I wish to own sheep." The angel prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is blessed with a pregnant sheep that gives birth, multiplies, and now he owns flocks of sheep. Allahu Akbar. Now after some time, now comes the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah the Almighty had blessed these three individuals. After some time, the angel, he goes to the leper in the guise of a leper. He goes to the man who was afflicted with leprosy in the guise of a human being who is currently afflicted with leprosy. He goes to that man and says, "O slave of Allah, look at me, I'm afflicted with leprosy." The narration goes along the lines of these words, "Please help me. Can you give me something from your wealth?" The man says, he chases him away. He says, "This is all my wealth. I earned it with much hard work." He ignores the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he chases the angel away. He failed in the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the angel goes to the bald man and says the same thing. He goes in the guise of a bald man and he says, "O slave of Allah, help me out, I'm in this difficulty." The man says, "This is all wealth of my ancestry. My forefathers left it behind. I inherited all of this wealth. This wealth is mine. Get away." He chases the angel. The angel finally goes to the blind man and he tells the blind man, "O slave of Allah, help me out." He goes in the guise of a blind man. The blind man, he says, "You know what? I used to be blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he restored my eyesight for me. And it is Allah the Almighty who gave all of this wealth. You see, all of these sheep, they all belong to me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with all of that sheep when I did not even have my eyesight, let alone the sheep. So take whatever you wish from my wealth, because it is Allah's and Allah the Almighty blessed me with it." Allahu Akbar. He acknowledges the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the angel reveals himself and then says, "This was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your two companions, the leper and the bald man, they failed in the test. You succeeded in the test. They angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you won the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Allahu Akbar. Allah the Almighty, our powerful maker, he says in the noble Quran, "لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِهِ لَشَدِيدٌ لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you show gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that we will increase many fold for you. Allahu Akbar. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ But on the other hand, if you deny, if you reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ Indeed, my punishment is severe. My torment is severe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from His anger and from His punishment. Ameen. Now we move on to the topic for today's sermon. And the topic is, winter is approaching. This is a modern day phrase that gives the meaning that very trying and troubled times are ahead. We are about to face, or we are facing, trying and troubled times. Because if you were to look around, the Muslim Ummah, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether you take it at an international level or a local level, we are all facing trials, tribulations and calamities. The Ummah is being battered from all four corners. But remember, and bear in mind, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is very, very temporary. The pleasures of this life are short-lived. Likewise, the hardships, the trials, the calamities of this life are short-lived. We are not supposed to latch ourselves onto this life because inevitably we are going to taste death. All of us, we are going to taste death, and we as believers, we know that this is a temporary abode. We are crossing on to our permanent stage, that is the Akhirah, where we shall abide in perpetual enjoyment and happiness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. And it is also from the signs of the day of Qiyamah that trials, calamities will start occurring one after the other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said that the day of Qiyamah or the final hour will not take place. The narration goes along the lines of these words, that the final hour will not take place until excessive haraj starts taking place. And scholars explain that that is excessive bloodshed, excessive killing, so much to the extent that the one who is the murderer, the one who is killing an individual, will not know why he is killing that individual, nor will the person who is being killed, who is being assassinated, nor will he know why on earth is he being assassinated. Trials, calamities, fitan will be widespread across the globe. These are all signs of the day of Qiyamah. And know for a fact, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that most of the minor signs of the day of Qiyamah have already taken place. There are only a few remaining minor signs to take place, after which the major signs of the day of Qiyamah will take place. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have taught us that even if one of the major signs of the day of Qiyamah were to take place, the remaining major signs would occur one after the other, just as how if you were to break a necklace, a beaded necklace, just as how the beads fall one after the other, the major signs of the day of Qiyamah will occur one after the other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So we see trials, calamities, tribulations taking place around us. These are all tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see how we fare in these tests. Because it is also been reported to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that towards latter stages, holding on to your iman, being steadfast on your iman, will be like holding a burning coal in your hand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Because during trials, during calamities, during tribulations, staying steadfast, holding on to iman, being strong, is very difficult. Many people become cowards. Many people utter statements that do not befit their iman, and by that they lose their iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For whatever happens, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this has to take place. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَّبْرَأَهَا. There is not a calamity, nor an affliction, nor a trial, nor a disaster that takes place on the face of this earth or in your own personal lives. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ, except that it has already been decreed in a book. Min qabli an nabra'aha. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even before we brought it out. Allahu Akbar. So it is upon us to accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that some trials, some calamities can at times be blessings in disguise. Because like they say, every dark cloud has a silver lining. Every dark cloud has a silver lining. And our minds are so weak, We cannot perceive the master plan of our powerful maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times it may look as a calamity at the outset, but deep within it can be a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was once a man who was shipwrecked, and he was marooned on an island. He was shipwrecked and marooned on a deserted island. He gets up, he walks around, and he sees there is not a soul in sight. He is all alone on that island. Now he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I've not lost hope in you. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, bring help. Let someone come and rescue me, or else I will perish. I will die. Because he wasn't Robinson Crusoe. He was a normal man. He was a normal man marooned on an island. And then he realizes that after a few days, help does not come. No one comes to rescue him. So what he does is he goes around the island and fetches berries, vegetables, fruits, and starts storing them up so that he can feed himself. If not, inevitably he is going to perish out of hunger. So he collects all of these berries and all of these fruits and comes back to the shore because he's waiting for help. He's waiting for somebody to come and rescue him. And now he's looking for a way to protect these berries and these fruits that he has collected. And then he sees some driftwood on the shore, perhaps from the ship wreckage. He goes and collects those driftwood, comes back and builds a small hut for him made out of those dry pieces of wood and stores all of the berries, all of the fruits inside it. The next day morning, he goes another round trying to get some meat perhaps, catch a bird or two perhaps. What happens? Now, as we all know, driftwood is dry wood. The minute that it is exposed to a lot of heat, it can go up in flames. There's a possibility. Now, by the time he comes back after his hunting, he sees that his little hut has burnt into ashes. Allahu Akbar. The hut with all of those berries and provisions that he had collected had gone up in ashes because due to the heat of the sun, it had burnt up all of the driftwood. He falls to the ground and he starts crying out, Ya Allah, why are you doing this to me, Ya Allah? I'm shipwrecked, I'm marooned on an island, and now all of that little provision that I collected has all gone up in flames, and now all that remains is a burnt pile of ash. And he cries himself to sleep, uttering statements, Ya Allah, why did you do this to me, Ya Allah? He loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he cries himself to sleep on the sand. After a while, he wakes up to people talking around him. He hears the sound of voices around him. He wakes up in a shock, in amazement, because he sees people around him and they're trying to help him. He sees one big huge ship has arrived. And they say, we have come to rescue you. We have come to help you. He says, but how did you all know that I'm on this island? What brought you all to this deserted island? The people of the ship, the sailors, they said, we were traveling far, far away. But then suddenly we saw this thin line of smoke. Allahu Akbar. The burning hut, there was a thin line of smoke. There was a thin line of smoke coming from this island. And we thought there has to be somebody there. And perhaps this is an SOS message. This is somebody asking for help. And that's why we turned our ship and came to the island. And alhamdulillah, now we are here to help you. Allahu Akbar. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, even if your tiny little hut burns, the moral of the story is, even if your tiny little hut burns, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the burning of your tiny little hut may send out a smoke signal that may call the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to envelop you. Allahu Akbar. So never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the trial may be, whatever the calamity may be, whatever the affliction may be. Because as we know, evil forces are gathering around us to eliminate us. But remember, we are subject to a powerful maker, the King of all kings, who does not tolerate evil. He does not tolerate oppression. He does not tolerate injustice. Allah the Almighty, the most just, His plan is in play, and that plan will overpower every other plan, as we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is important that we rectify our lives. It is important that we bring about taqwa. Because as the trials, as the calamities, as the afflictions occur around us, if we fail to bring in taqwa, if we fail to adopt taqwa, then we may be swept away by those trials, by those calamities, and by those afflictions, and our iman may be washed away by those trials. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. For if we ingrain taqwa in our lives, if we infuse our hearts with taqwa, no doubt we will attain success in this world, even if we are caught up in a trial, and even if we are destroyed by that trial, as long as we have taqwa, we will be successful in this world as well as the hereafter. And what better an opportunity to ingrain taqwa, to infuse taqwa in our lives, other than the blessed month of Ramadan that is just a day or two away from us. Allahu Akbar. It is indeed a blessed guest, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. And like I said, every dark cloud has a silver lining. And the month of Ramadan is indeed the silver lining, because it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me ask you all a question. If a noble guest were to visit you at your homes, would you just ignore that guest? Would you just ignore him and not entertain that guest, a noble guest? Ramadan is indeed a blessed and a noble guest. So have we prepared ourselves to welcome the blessed month of Ramadan? Have we geared ourselves to welcome the blessed month of Ramadan? Are we prepared for Ramadan? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all be prepared for the month of Ramadan. Because the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. It is a shahrul Quran. It is a shahrul tawbah. It is a shahrul taraweeh. It is a month of tawbah. It is a month of taraweeh. It is a month of qiyam al-layl. It is a month of seeking istighfar. It is a month that we must try our level best to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a month in which the devils are locked up supermax style. All of the shayateen are locked up. The influence of the devil no longer affects us in that month. But then there is a scary reality to that. Because some people question that if the devils are locked up, if shaitan is locked up, how come during the month of Ramadan, at times I feel prompted to do sins, or there are these evil desires lurking in my heart? Scholars explain, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that an individual, a human being, is influenced by two evil forces. Number one is the devil, and number two, it's your own nafs. It's your own nafs. So in the month of Ramadan, we cannot play blame games. We cannot blame anyone. We cannot blame shaitan, because shaitan is locked up. So his influence is no more on you. So in the month of Ramadan, if you are still inclined towards committing sins, if you are still inclined to watching movies, if you are still inclined to listening music, if you are still inclined to observing vulgar content on the World Wide Web, if your addiction is still overpowering you, if you are still hooked on to pornography, if you are still self-stimulating yourself, you need to question your own self, and you need to work a lot on your nafs, because your nafs is rebellious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from a rebellious nafs. Because the influence of the devil is no longer there in the month of Ramadan. So if we are still incited towards texting that girl who we are in a haram relationship, it is our own nafs that we have to blame. We have to work on our nafs so much to the extent that our hearts are completely infused with taqwa. For what is the objective behind fasting? Do you think that the objective behind fasting is staying away from food and drink? Is that all what it is, Ramadan? Is that all what Ramadan is all about? Nay. Allah the Almighty, the ayat I recite in the beginning, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, Kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Fasting has been prescribed upon y'all and the nations before y'all. For what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you'll adopt taqwa. So that you'll become people of taqwa. So now a question may arise, how is taqwa linked to fasting? Let me give you all an example. One fasting day, it is midday, it's a very hot day, you're feeling the pangs of hunger, your throats are parched, you want to drink a cool, quenching drink. What is stopping you from doing that? You can go to the privacy of your homes, of your rooms, and you can drink water, you can consume food, and you can come out and act as if you're fasting. But what stops you from drinking water? Nobody is going to know about it. It's not going to be imprinted on your head that you ate a burger without anybody knowing. Nobody is going to know about it. So what stops you from drinking water? What stops you from eating food? It's your heart, the control center right in the middle that says you are fasting. That heart cries out to your stomach, just shut up, you know. It tells the pangs of hunger, keep quiet. It tells the throat, keep quiet. You have time till Maghrib. You can't eat, you can't drink. And that is exactly what taqwa is all about. Taqwa is based in our hearts. Our hearts are the control center that control all of our limbs. The minute we ingrain taqwa in our lives, when we walk down the street and then there is this beautiful girl or this beautiful woman, taqwa is what will pull our gaze to the ground. Taqwa is what will make us control ourselves. There's this good song, there's this good movie, you have got your own laptop, you can do it. Taqwa is what will stop you. Taqwa is what will stop you from an illicit relationship. Taqwa is what will stop you from signing on an interest-bearing transaction. It's taqwa all along. Because the minute we bring in taqwa, taqwa dominates and controls our lives, our limbs, making us worthy of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Umar radiallahu anh, he once asked Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anh, Ya Ubay, define taqwa for me. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anh, he asked, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, have you ever walked down a thorny path? Umar radiallahu anhu, he replies in the affirmative, yes, I have. Then Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu then asks, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what did you do when you were walking down a thorny path? He said, I gathered up my clothes. I took precaution whilst I was walking so that I should not snag my clothes onto the thorns and so that I do not hurt myself getting injured onto those thorns. I took precaution and moved carefully down the path. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu then says, that is exactly what taqwa is. The path is the temporary life that you and I, we are crossing, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. A life which is just a matter of 50, 60, 70 years. Allahu Akbar. If somebody lives more than that today, it's a miracle. It's considered a miracle. And the thorns are the muharramat, are the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are all of those prohibitions that we need to stay away. We need to stay away because the devil, because shaitan will use those thorns to snag us and make us stumble on the way. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. The Arab poet, he says a piece of poetry along the lines of these words. He says, Leave, خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا Leave sins, good Leave sins, whether they be major sins or minor sins. Leave all of the sins. Stay away from sins completely. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْكَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى And be like a person walking down a thorny path, taking much precaution, looking this way, looking that way, walking down a thorny path. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرًا Do not look down upon anything that is small, whether it be a good deed or a bad deed, because a good deed will take you towards Jannah and an evil deed will take you towards Jahannam. فَإِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى Do not look down upon any small deed because mountains are made up of tiny little pebbles. Allahu Akbar. Mountains are made up of tiny pebbles. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us use this blessed month of Ramadan to adopt taqwa in our lives. For the minute we bring in taqwa in our lives, indeed we will be successful in this world as well as the hereafter. I leave you all with a message, and that is, during trials and calamities, let us all be united as one ummah. Let us leave our differences aside. I think it is enough. We have seen enough around us to make us stop fighting amongst ourselves, to make us stop bickering amongst ourselves. We need to be united as one ummah, because united we stand and divided we fall. If we fight amongst ourselves, if we divide ourselves, our ummah, we are going to become weak. We need to be united and stand united so that we will be able to repel the evil forces that are trying to destroy us, but know for a fact they are evil and they will never ever be able to repel us. They will never ever be able to destroy us, because we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are upon haq, and victory is for the Muslims and Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins, and may He the Almighty accept all of our good deeds, and may He the Almighty unite all of us in the gardens of Jannah, just as how He united us here this afternoon with our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wa ya alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.